Hello and welcome to Voices of Parenting Podcast. I am so glad you're here. Every week, I try to bring somebody who has something beautiful to offer to those of us who are on this very real and complicated journey of parenting and really just living. My hope is that you will find something to relate to and something that you can take with you as you continue on your own exquisite and beautiful, powerful and purposeful journey as the person that you are in this world. My name is Musi Diskin. I am an advanced nurtured heart approach trainer. I am a parenting coach. I am also an inner wealth coach, which means that I help people rediscover and connect to the people that they truly were all along, but may have gotten forgotten along the way. So to find out more about me and what I offer, you can check out musidiskin.com, contact me through there, respond to this podcast, find me on social media. I would love to connect and I would love to hear your feedback. To sponsor a Voices of Parenting podcast episode, please reach out to energizinghearts@gmail.com. Thank you for being here, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Today, I have a very, very exciting guest. For all of you out there who have been in the Nurtured Heart world, who have maybe gone to a CTI, you probably know Josh Kirsten. I am so excited to kind of ask Josh to share his story with us today. Before I do that, Josh, if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I am someone who lives in Chico, California, and I have two kids that are now basically 20 and 18. I work mainly in schools, supporting the adults that struggle with kids' challenging behavior. And what I do is I go in and I structure programs to change adults' behavior so that kids' behavior shifts to meet the needs of their environment.
I love that. That's a great description. And I'm sure everyone's going to be like, oh, I'll take some of that. So yes. And that's what it boils down to, right? I generally talk more about parenting just because that's my life. I don't remember the exact line, but like something like a judge of good parenting is not the child's behavior, it's the parent's behavior. So
yeah, that applies. Yeah. And, you know, they call me once they've run out of all their specialists, like everybody's done. Nobody knows what to do. And they call me in. And so then I just lean in and support in that way.
Yeah. Josh works super close with Howard Glasser, who's the creator of Nurtured Heart Approach, and teaches the trainings with him and just does a whole lot for the Nurtured Heart world as well, which we're very grateful for. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Josh. If you want my real day job, I have 3 day jobs. I work in schools and I do private consulting and I do CEO of Nurtured Heart Institute. So I have 3 full-time jobs, really, even though it's supposed to look like one spread out over a few days. It's 3.
There you go. And he made time to come on the podcast. Like so it. Yay that.
Always.
All right. So take us back to the days before Nurtured Heart. Take us back to, you want to call them, there's a podcast I listen to. The way she says it is the bad old days. Take us to the bad old days. What was it like before Nurtured Heart that kind of led you to find it in the first place?
Yeah, I don't think of them as bad old days for sure. So luckily, I guess, or happily, my story doesn't come from like trauma or turmoil to Nurtured Heart Approach. Like my feeling was, I mean, I was always good with kids, always, forever. And before I had kids, I remember going to my aunt and uncle's house and my aunt would say things like, how, you know, you're so captivating. How are you always hanging out with the kids? They love you. And I love playing with kids on the playground. And I worked as a classroom paraprofessional and got along with all the kids. And, you know, that was a non-issue for me. And when I became a parent, same thing. It was kids first. I mean, that's just kind of how I operate. So that part wasn't a hassle. You know, my kids are both really intense, just like I am. And same with my ex-wife, she's intense. We're all intense around here. So my son had more like hypersensitivity, which is something that I grew up with. So I kind of understood it from the inside out. And I was totally engaged and connected and would talk him through challenges and here's what we do. We got to use our words and come up with solutions. I was already totally interested in behavior. I was already teaching. I was teaching special education, and my classroom was a classroom full of kids who were there because of challenging behavior, and I was already pushing them out into general ed and teaching in general ed and showing general ed teachers how to teach whole class well, including kids that had challenges, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I had all that background. I'd been super fascinated by behavior my whole life, literally in college, in the fraternity, in the bars around drunk people. And you learn behavior because you got uninhibited people that are kind of nutty in there, you know, and you start to learn like the ins and outs of human behavior. So like, it's really been a thread through my life of just how I look at stuff. My teaching career switched when I had my first kid, my daughter, and I was still teaching. And my reaction to that was, how do people even go to work when you have a kid? I don't want to be away from my, this is unnatural, you know? And my ex was working and she had a pretty decent paying job. And so I thought, I know, I'll stay home. You know, like, what do I need to work for? We could make this work. And so I stayed home for 6 months. And after 6 months was like, oh yeah, financially, this is a real challenge. So it's time to go back to work. So I switched from teaching to behavior specialist and kind of started my own consulting business. So the long story short is, it was during that time as a behavior specialist that I ran into one of the most unique cases I'd ever worked on. A kid who was 6'2", 6'3", 310, 320 pounds. He was very demanding on like what cartoon character to call him that day and how, what language to use. He was like non-binary before non-binary was a thing. You know, he would be a guy or a girl or a whoever. And he would have these, well, they call them rage seizures. I have no idea if that's even a real thing, but that's what I was told from the parents. Whatever. Doesn't really matter what the label was, but I watched this kiddo at home one day kind of go into that crisis brain and walk around his yard frustrated. And he was like stepping on cement benches and breaking them in half and ripping out things out of the yard. And I was just like, whoa, this kid is super intense, super strong, you know, like real, it's a real challenge to work with this kid. So like every day as part of my routine, I would go online and I would just like research what's the newest behavior stuff. What's a new way to address these things. You know, I was really into school-wide positive behavior supports before it turned into PBIS, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I was reading mental health and all this stuff. And I came across, I don't even know how, came across some random thing about nurtured heart approach. And at that time, there was very little to find. But I had found people like you and me kind of posting little things about it. This was 2007 or 2008. And the thing that caught my attention was somebody was explaining like being in a classroom and having the first row of kids be on task doing what they're supposed to do, the second row of kids being on task doing what they're supposed to do, and a kid in the third row having a problem. And the teacher walking past the first row, past the second row, and stopping the class and giving all their attention to this one problem kid and how that's upside down and backwards. And I read that one line and went, oh man, this is the thing. This is the thing that made sense. Like that line made sense to me. And I was like, I have to know more about this. So I just started digging and digging. And probably for the first year, I was able to operate from free content that I found, just like what no means and what yes means. I had no idea what stand three reset clarity was. And I didn't care. For the first, I would say year and a half, I didn't even try to address stand three. I was just playing with the balance of yes and no. And of course I brought it right home and brought it to my kids. And there was a lot of like adjustments, you know, learning and trying it out and trying to figure it out. But the yes, no, and the energetics to yes, no really cleared it up. You know, things like my kids would be playing in the bedroom and at this time, then I was single dad. So My kids would be playing in the bedroom. I'd have some things to do around the house. And, you know, an eruption would happen. And I would go in and help address the problem, get them back on task, and then sneak back out of the room, you know, and let them momentum keep going. And I was like, God, that's so backwards. So I just started to flip that, you know, and when they were in the room playing well, I would stop my duties of parenting and cleaning the house and whatever else. And I would go in and I would lean in and I would do the nurtured heart recognitions and I would just be a part of what they were doing. And I would be close to them and I would hug them and I would comment on how well they were, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it just started to shift. And that was that's the beginning. That was the seed of the journey. It started as a work thing and went to, oh, I just read a line that was truth for me. And I'm like, that's the perspective I needed. And really for me, it was then, oh, I get it. So I have these powerful tools of applied behavior analysis and powerful tools later in life of trauma informed when that came along. And I realized, you know, I was watching behavior plans making problems worse. And they were well-written plans, you know, but they didn't understand how to take that plan and filter it through stand one, stand two, and stand three. So the way it was delivered didn't make the problem worse. And so that's what I've really found as a value now is nurtured heart approach is a delivery model. Just take anything you're doing, any system, any intervention, any application, any business structure, anything, and run it through the filter of the nurtured heart approach, and it brings efficiency up, effectiveness up, relationship together.
I relate to that to a lot, but the two things that I'll say is one, when I heard about nurtured heart also, I heard so little about it. It was so third hand. It was my colleague's husband took a course from a trainer. And this was before there was any sort of like training that trainers got, you know, like slides or anything like that, like no VTMs. It was just like teach nurtured heart, however you can, you know? So I heard it watered down to that point. And it was just like a 5-minute conversation. We're like, oh, my husband went to this thing. And it was so interesting. It was like walk into the classroom and talk to the kid who's like, has their pencil out instead of the kid who's fumbling for their pencil and like, just focus on what's going right. And it was the same. It was like, I don't know what that is. It took me 6-7 years to learn it. But in my head, it was always that thing about noticing who already has their pencil out. That's the thing. And then I had the opportunity of suggesting something to my school. They wanted to know what to do for PD. And I was like, that's what I want, that thing. Like, I knew the name. It's called Nurtured Heart. Go look it up. And it was the biggest blessing. So yeah, so that, yes to that. And then the second thing is this filter idea. This is why it's so universal. This is why it speaks every language and every culture and every home and every classroom, because it doesn't care. Nurtured Heart doesn't care what your rules are. Nurtured Heart doesn't care what your values are and what your culture is and what your religion is. Whatever you're doing, do it right side up. This is the Nurtured Heart way of saying it, Nurtured Heart jargon. But, you know, do it in this way where you're, yeah, being effective, making things better, not worse, and aligned with, I think what so many of us in today's day and age are talking about and care about, which is that secure attachment and that relationship and that connection that we're all seeking as humans, enhancing that and aligned with that. And it doesn't really matter what is. It's, this is the way to have the what work in alignment with everything. I'll speak for myself, everything I want and care about. And it's so rewarding that I can live my life and all the what's can still apply in alignment.
Yeah.
In alignment. And that's what I hated before Nurtured Heart. I hated that I felt like I needed to be out of alignment in order to have that decorum in my classroom. I needed to be out of alignment because my kid was just so destructive. So I just needed to be out of alignment, even though it was so out of alignment and I hated it. I don't like timeouts. I don't like, you know, punishments, but like, what am I supposed to do? My kid's throwing furniture. I've got to do something. So tell me more about, you know, so you said the first year you kind of were like going on whatever free stuff you found, but you did take that step and you did take a lot of steps from then till now. So what drew you in? What made you keep going? And what did you find?
Well, you know, like I was saying, I was playing with the yes, no, and the yes, no had such a significant impact. Again, kind of everywhere. I mean, it was at home mainly, you know, I typically, all the behavior stuff that I had ever done, as I read it or research it, I just take it into my life and apply. You know, it's like, that sounds great, but I need to apply it, see how it works, understand it from the inside out before I take it anywhere else. So I was mainly seeing huge impacts at home. And then I was playing with that idea in my professional career. I was able to find and purchase a 6-hour training that Howie used to sell. And it was just him giving the 6-hour, and someone recorded it and they sold it on a DVD, and I found it. But, so that was like my next dive in. I had found the certified training intensive. And at that time it was twice a year, once in Tucson and once in New York. And it was expensive for me at the time. And I wasn't able to get my work to pay for it the first year. So I had to go that extra year of just pulling information and figuring it out on my own. But what I really wanted was to get there and understand it from the inside out, like I've been talking about. I wanted to feel it in my bones, and I needed to understand Stand 3 because I didn't grasp Stand 3 and I wasn't using it because I didn't know it. And so then I actually ended up paying to go, like, my work didn't see the benefit in it. And I'm like, that's fine. I do. I'm going to pay. I'm going to go. Oh, wait, before that, I managed to see Howie live also. So I did see a 1-day training live in Sacramento at one point. And that was 6-hour, but I still didn't understand Stand 3. And at that time, by that time, I was already using it in classrooms, and I had built classroom structure for an STC class based on Nurtured Heart Approach, using like ABA stuff like token economy, and using some self-reflection stuff for the kids, and, you know, just like all the best practices stuff. And I put it together in alignment with Stand 1 and 2 and Stand 3 as best I could. But then I finally got to CTI. And once I got there, I went through the week. It was like, you know, earth-shaking magic. I don't know what to call it. You know, I don't want to be like, you know, it's the great, everyone will have the greatest experience ever. I had the greatest experience. Because I was totally committed and I knew this was something I wanted to learn. And the way CTI is structured, you know, part of the magic, I think, of CTI is that it's 5 full days. And so there's an endurance piece to it that actually adds to the training. And you really get a chance to watch yourself bump into your own walls. And then how do you operate when you bump into those walls? And are you in line with Stand 1, 2, and 3? And then you get to, you know, for me, it was like, I got to operate with, you know, how does then Stand 1, 2, and 3 really support those times? Because here I am in the middle of it, right? And I remember being in that first week in the middle of the week, like in a crisis, you know, kind of like, this is too long and it's not, I don't understand it well, and I'm kind of frustrated. And you know, like the next day it shifted and I was like, oh, I get it. I get it. So like, there was that total discord of letting go of understanding it, because it's not necessarily logical and linear, and there isn't like an end game and then you're there. You know what I mean? It's just a spiral of understanding that every time around you understand it a little deeper and a little deeper, which is why 20 years later, I'm still leaning in with as much effort as I can to learn more about the simple nurtured heart approach, right? I just say simple, not easy. And I say the work reveals the work, because that's what's been happening over this amount of time. You know, and there's so many books and theories and research and everything on the what's. You talked about the what's, right? On what to do. Like, it's really important for healing trauma to have really good, strong, healthy relationships. Great. No one says how. They just say that's what you need to do. So another way, like we talked about the filter thing, the other way I think about Nurture Heart Approach is it's the how to the what's. So if you have a what and you don't know how, use Nurture Heart Approach. That's how to get the what done of whatever you're looking at, you know? And you said something else that struck me, which was, you know, how it thinking of it as a filter kind of transcends like beliefs and there's not like a set of rules you have to follow based on your approach. It's your rules and then your beliefs and how that looks. And I was thinking, yeah, like that's that space where it's such an asset to that, to the question everyone has of how do we connect people across cultures and different belief systems and even people that are at odds with each other and, you know, like are in conflict with each other. And I love the way Nurture Heart Approach operates because it's not about past or present and it's not about a definition of you that's been brought to the moment. It's defines you within the moment that we're in. And the whole focus is I can look at myself or I can look at another person and, you know, I can just go to what is this circumstance highlighting as that person's inner wealth or my inner wealth? What's the gem inside? What do they bring to the table? And it kind of supersedes, you know, I could be really appalled with how you live your life, but in the moment of interaction with you, I can still go, ooh, I see a gem of greatness inside you that I can bring out and talk about right now. You know, so it's fascinating, you know.
Oh, Josh, I have so much to say, and I'm looking at the clock here, and we're closing here. We're at closing time, which is crazy to think about because I have so many questions and so many thoughts. But I'm curious to know if people want to know more about Josh Kirsten, or reach out or connect if that's a possibility and how they can make that happen.
The easiest way is to just go to thevirtualbehaviorist.com.
I'll put that into the show notes and I will also put a link to Josh's book, which outlines his clear and sensical way of navigating super intense moments. What's the name of the book again?
Stop Accidentally Making Things Worse.
Yes. And I have a copy right over there. Okay. So I will put that in the link below as well. Josh, thank you so much for being here today and reach out to Josh. He's super approachable. See you next time. Hey, wait, don't go yet. Take a minute to find the beautiful quality that you have, that you appreciate about yourself.